From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Prabowo Subianto inaugurates his red and white cabinet. President Prabowo holds first official dinner to welcome state guests. King Charles visits Australia's capital Canberra. I'm Nuka Kusmawati, now the news in details. President Prabowo Subianto officially inaugurated 48 ministers and 5 ministerial levels officials for the 2024-2029 cabinet, named Cabinet Merah Putih or the Red and White Cabinet, at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. The inauguration, as monitored on YouTube, was carried out based on presidential's decree on state ministers' establishment and appointment of state ministers.
Sebelum saya mengambil sumpah janji berkenaan dengan pengangkatan saudara-saudara.
Before I take the oath on your appointment as ministers of the Red and White Cabinet for the 2024-2029 period,
terlebih dahulu saya akan bertanya kepada saudara-saudara.
I would first ask you, are you willing to take an oath according to your respective religions? Besides the 48 ministers, President Prabowo also inaugurated 5 ministerial levels officials. The Attorney General, Head of the State Intelligence Agency, Chief of Presidential Staff, Deputy Chief of Presidential Staff, Head of the Presidential's Communication Office, and Chairman of the National Economic Council. After the presidential's decree reading, President Prabowo read the oath of the office, followed by the ministers and ministerial level officials.
Bahwa saya
akan setia kepada
Undang-Undang Dasar Negara Republik Indonesia.
I will be loyal to the 1945 Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia.
Serta akan menjalankan
Segala peraturan perundang-undangan.
Dengan seluruh-lurusnya.
I will carry out all laws and regulations as honestly as possible for the sake of my devotion to the nation and state.
Bahwa saya
dalam menjalankan tugas jabatan
akan menjunjung tinggi etika jabatan.
In carrying out my duties, I will uphold the ethics of office and work as well as possible with a full sense of responsibility. A total of 48 ministers were named to take office from 2024 to 2029. The 48 ministers are divided into 7 coordinating ministers and 41 technical ministers who will assist President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka for the next 5 years. President Prabowo Subianto held his first official dinner at the State Palace in Jakarta on Sunday after being sworn in as the Indonesian 8th President. As reported by Antara News Agency, during the event, Prabowo expressed his highest appreciation for the presence of fellow country's leaders at the presidential's inauguration earlier at the country's parliament complex. According to him, their presence is not only an honor for him, but also for Indonesia and its people. Prabowo father said that as a country that only recently experienced constitutional democracy, Indonesia still needs to learn a lot to implement an ideal democracy. He also said that Indonesia would like to continue friendship with the world countries, saying Indonesia would like to be the best neighbor and partner to work for the common good, peace, and prosperity. Leaders present included Prime Minister of Singapore Lawrence Wong, Prime Minister of East Timor Sanana Gusmao, the U.S. Representative to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield, and First Deputy Prime Minister of Russia Denis Manturov. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono stressed President Prabowo Subianto's special instruction to him to maintain communication with friendly countries and help Palestinians. Sugiono on Monday emphasized Prabowo's statement in his speech after being inaugurated as president on the importance of Indonesian foreign policy adhering to the country's traditional free and active principles. He said Prabowo wants Indonesia to be good friends and neighbors with all friends worldwide. Besides that, during his speech, Prabowo also conveyed the philosophy he believes that 1,000 friends are too few and 1 enemy is too many. According to Sugiono, it signifies Prabowo's strong desire to be a friend to all countries and to be a guideline in facing the dynamics of global problems. Former Indonesian President Joko Widodo and his spouse Iriana arrived in their hometown in Surakarta Central Java on Sunday after handing over the presidency to Prabowo Subianto in Jakarta. As reported by Antaranus Agency, acting mayor of Surakarta, Doni Widianto said his government had prepared a welcoming ceremony for Jokowi and Iriana at their residence at Sumber Village, Banjarsari Subdistrict, Surakarta. The simple ceremony was organized per request from Jokowi himself, as confirmed by the Surakarta City Government's Chief of Protocol, Communication and Public Administration, Sulistia Rini. Meanwhile, municipal leaders and local figures welcomed Jokowi and Iriana at their residence in Sumber Village. One of the local figures is Mangkunegara X, the young ruler of the traditional Surakarta-based Mangkunegaran dynasty. The Indonesian Air Force Boeing 737 military aircraft carrying the former leader safely landed at Adi Sumarmo Airport in Boyolali Regency west of Surakarta on Sunday evening. They were welcomed by thousands of residents flanking the road passed by them. Some carried banners with expression of gratitude to the former leaders. Let's move on to the international news, where Philippines Department of Justice said 17 members of militant group linked with ISIS have been sentenced to life in prison on Monday for kidnapping foreign and Filipino nationals in Malaysia nearly 25 years ago. In April, 2000 members of Islamist extremist group Abu Sayyaf kidnapped at gunpoint 21 people from a holiday resort on the Malaysian island of Sipadan. The hostages included nationals of the Philippines, French, Lebanon, and Malaysia, who endured months of captivity in the jungles of Jolo, about 955 kilometers south of Manila, until they were ransomed for millions of dollars. As reported by AFP news agency, the department said in a statement that this conviction reflected their efforts to uphold the rule of law without fear of falter. The 17 accused were found guilty on Wednesday of 21 counts of kidnapping and serious illegal detentions with ransom. All were sentenced to life imprisonment. However, the kidnappers could not be charged with terrorism since the abduction happened in 2000, before the country had such applicable laws. British monarch King Charles III visited Australia's capital Canberra on Monday, where he applauded for a speech on the country's climate perils. As reported by AFP, the monarch gave a speech to Australian Parliament members gathered in the Parliament's Great Hall. He encouraged Australia, a long-time climate laggard, with an economy geared around mining and coal, to assume the mantle of global leadership in the race to slash emissions. He said the magnitude and ferocity of natural disaster were accelerating, and he described the unprecedented events as an unmistakable sign of climate change. King Charles III also paid particular tribute to Indigenous Australians who had loved and cared for the continent for 65,000 years. The King also visited a purpose-built lab at Australia's Public Science Agency, which is used to study the bushfires that routinely ravage swaths of the country. Later, he strolled through plots of native flowers at Australia's National Botanic Garden, discussing how a heating planet would imperil the country's many unique species. Pakistan's government on Monday narrowly passed constitutional amendments giving lawmakers more power in appointing top judges. As reported by AFP, under the judicial's reforms passed during an early morning sessions of Parliament, the Chief Justice of Pakistan will now be selected by a parliamentary committee and have a fixed term of 3 years. The amendment comes just days before Pakistan's Supreme Court Chief Justice Qazi Faiz Issa in due to retire. Under the previous law, he would have been automatically replaced by the next most senior judge. New benches of senior judges will also form across the country to waive exclusively on constitutional issues. Analyst Bilal Gilani, who heads Pakistan's leading polling agency, said the amendments have some wins, including balancing activism by the judiciary. However, Ghani said the amendment creates a judiciary that is more pliant with the government's concern. Listener, let's move it on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on Egypt certified malaria-free by WHO, an important milestone amid world's hard geopolitics. I'm Dalat Pane. The World Health Organization, WHO, on Sunday has certified Egypt as malaria-free. WHO called it a significant public health milestone for a century effort to end the disease. In a statement, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said, "Malaria that even plagued pharaohs now belongs to the history, not the future of Egypt." Egypt's successful malaria-free certification should distract the world from the Russia to Ukraine or even Israel and Palestine and Lebanon conflicts. War causes physical destruction and kills many, but some disease may claim more lives than war. In Egypt, malaria has been tracked since 4000 BCE, with genetic evidence found in Tutankhamun and other ancient Egyptian mummies. The cases of malaria historically were reportedly found around the population living along the banks of Nile River, with the best condition for malaria mosquito vectors to breed and survive. Prior to the Second World War, Egypt faced spiking malaria cases that never happened before among civilians and military. This was triggered by obstructed health services, insufficient malaria medicine and larvicide supply, and invasion of Anopheles arabiensis, a highly efficient mosquito vector. Egypt responded by forming 16 treatment divisions and recruitment of more than 4,000 medical workers for vector control. Currently, on a global level, some 44 countries and one region are certified malaria-free. This means a mere 20% of the world is free from malaria. Only 77% of Indonesia is certified malaria-free. The malaria-free certification is given by WHO when a country has proven successful in ending the chain of malaria transmission nationwide for at least 3 consecutive years. Besides, a country must show the capacity to prevent another transmission. According to the WHO, malaria kills more than 600,000 lives every year, and 95% of them are in Africa. Apart from the ongoing armed war, the fight against infectious disease caused by pathogens such as bacteria, virus, and parasites must still be a concern. Fantastic numbers of deaths by COVID-19 are still fresh in our mind, similarly with malaria. Based on WHO data, malaria is the world's third most deadly disease, with 2 to 3 million new cases on a yearly basis. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Pancasila, dasar negara, rakyat.
We begin today in history with an event on October 21, 1986, when the Marshall Islands became independent from the United States. The Marshall Islands began self-government in 1979, having previously been under the control of the United States as part of the Trust Territory of the Pacific Island. The step marked the beginning of independence for the Marshallish in managing their domestic affairs. Then on October 21, 1986, the Marshall Islands signed the Compact of Free Association with the United States. This agreement marked the recognition of the Marshall Islands' full independence, as well as establishing a special relationship between the two countries, in which the Marshall Islands became a sovereign state but continued to have diplomatic economic relations with the United States. Let's move it on to the next event in 1990 about the commemoration of World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day. On October 21, 1990, was designated as World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day with the aim of raising awareness about the importance of iodine for the health of the human body. World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day was established through the World Summit for Children in 1990. The World Health Organization, WHO, then took a further step in 1991 by establishing indicators to assess iodine deficiency in various countries. Since then, October 21st has been celebrated as World Iodine Deficiency Prevention Day, with various countries joining the campaign to ensure iodine needs are met for their people. We end today in history with an event in 2010 when Myanmar changed its national flag. On October 21, 2010, Myanmar officially changed its national flag. Previously, Myanmar used a flag introduced on January 3, 1974 that reflected socialist ideology. This flag had a rice stalk to symbolize employees and farmers, and 14 stars representing the administrative division of Myanmar, all on a blue background. While the new flag adopted a different design, consisting of three horizontal stripes of yellow, green, and red, and a large white star in the center. This flag change was not just a change of symbol, but also part of Myanmar's political transition and efforts to create a new image in the eyes of the international community.
Mungkinkah kau mampir hari ini? Bila tidak mirip kau, jadilah bunga matahari yang tiba-tiba mekar di taman. Meski bicara dengan bahasa tumbuhan, ceritakan padaku bagaimana tempat tinggalmu yang baru. Adakah sungai-sungai itu benar-benar dilintasi dengan air susu? Juga badanmu tak sakit-sakit lagi. Kau dan orang-orang di sana muda lagi. Semua pertanyaan temukan jawaban. Hati yang gembira sering kau tertawa. Benarkah orang bilang ia memang suka bercanda? Mungkinkah kau mampir hari ini? Bila tidak mirip kau, jadilah bunga matahari yang tiba-tiba mekar di taman. Meski bicara dengan bahasa tumbuhan, kau ceritakan padamu bagaimana hidupku tanpamu. Kangennya masih ada di setiap waktu. Kadang aku menangis bila aku perlu. Tapi aku sekarang sudah lebih lucu. Jadilah menyenangkan seperti katamu. Jalani hidup dengan penuh sukacita. Dan percaya kau ada di hatiku selamanya. Sekarang janji kita pastikan bertemu lagi.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry promotes green energy and 8% growth in Indonesia. Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Arsyad Rashid, highlighted that Indonesia has a substantial opportunity for growth in sectors such as renewable energy, carbon capture technology, electric vehicles, and the utilization of biodiversity. Quoting Antara News Agency on Thursday, October the 17th, Arsyad Rashid stated that the green business sector in Indonesia encompasses a wide range of possibilities. He also pointed out that numerous potential sources, such as geothermal energy, hydroelectric power, and solar energy, remain largely untapped. He believes that there is still much to be optimized in Indonesia's green energy potential. He gave examples of energy transition opportunities, emphasizing that Indonesia holds significant potential in carbon capture, in carbon capture technology, and the emerging electric vehicle industry. He stressed that to fully harness these opportunities, Indonesia must establish its own certification standards for the green energy sector. Currently, most green energy certifications in Indonesia are obtained from abroad. He hopes that Indonesia can begin to develop its own certification system, allowing it to be more self-reliant and aligned with domestic needs. Arshad Rashid also underscored the importance of creating a domestic market for green energy. He mentioned that Indonesia's natural resources could be utilized more optimally if there were a well-defined market. For example, a carbon market in Indonesia needs to be developed to contribute more significantly to global emissions reduction. During a dialogue event with young people titled Gen 8 Talk, 8% is Possible, organized by the Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Jakarta on Thursday, Arshad Rashid presented strategic priority proposals for Indonesia's economic development over the next 5 years. These proposals are encapsulated in a white paper that is divided into 4 strategic pillars and 18 growth themes. Of the 18 growth themes, there are 7 priority growth focus areas expected to contribute approximately $400 to $450 billion or 80% to Indonesia's GDP over the next 5 years. That was my Indonesia Today.
Biar kita tinggal di angkasa, bersama selama-lama-lama-lamanya. Beralas awan berpayung Tuhan tetapi selalu lebur. Biar kita jadi doa yang nyata, bermuara pada lapang yang di bawah kasurmu.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The waters of Tolo Bay are geographically part of central Sulawesi and are home to a huge marine life. The rich biodiversity makes Tolo Bay a popular destination for marine tourism. The beauty of these waters can be experienced from Sombori Island, located in the southern part of the bay, specifically in Morowali Regency, between South Bungku and Menui Islands. Sombori is a conservation area made up of coral islands. Its small islands resemble Raja Ampat in West Papua, which has earned the nickname Miniature of Raja Ampat. Listener, some part of Sombori Island are home to fishermen, but much of the area also remains untouched by humans. To reach Sombori, you can start from Kendari, the capital of Southeast Sulawesi, and choose between land or sea routes. The land route takes about 6 hours to drive to Lafeu Port in Bungku Pesisir, followed by a 1-hour boat ride to the island. Alternatively, traveling by sea takes about half a day, while a speed boat can cover the distance in 4 to 5 hours. Listener, as you approach Sombori, you will be greeted by breathtaking views. The waves of the sea and the cliffs surrounding on both sides are creating a stunning scene. Once you get into the deeper part of the island, the views become even more mesmerizing, with clusters of coral islands in various sizes and shapes. Some are just bare rocks, while others are large, lushly vegetated islands with exotic tropical greenery. These coral islands have white sand beaches, offering a pristine paradise. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia,
broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jaga dinara hatinya.
Cinta beri pertanda.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bima. Di Bima, which means in Bima. You will listen to a conversation about di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. The monologue is by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, who is recording a vlog about his hotel room around Sabah Airport, Sumbawa Island, West Nusa Tenggara. Let's listen to his monologue.
Setelah menempuh perjalanan dari Kabupaten Bima, malam ini saya menginap di sebuah hotel di dekat Pelabuhan Sabah. Kapal saya berangkat besok pagi. Ini kamar saya. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC.
After listening to the monologue, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Di dalam, which means inside. Kamar, kamar, which means room. Meja, meja, which means table. Lemari, lemari, which means wardrobe. Televisi, televisi, which means television. AC, AC, which means air conditioner. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Which means, inside the room, there are table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. Menempuh, menempuh, which means go through. Perjalanan, perjalanan, which means trip. Kabupaten Bima, which means Bima Regency. Menginap, menginap, which means stay. Pelabuhan Sabah, Pelabuhan Sabah, which means Sabah Port. Kapal, kapal, which means ship. In the monologue, there is the expression di dalam kamar ada meja, televisi, dan AC. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Which means, inside the room, there are table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. There is the adverb di dalam, which means inside, which shows a particular location or place, namely a space that contains something. The expression di dalam, which means inside, in the monologue, shows an hotel room that contains a table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. Other example. Let's listen to another use of di dalam, which means inside, in another sentence. Di dalam kapal ada restoran. Di dalam kapal ada restoran, which means inside the ship there is a restaurant. Chris menyimpan kameranya di dalam tas khusus. Chris menyimpan kameranya di dalam tas khusus, which means Chris put his camera inside a special bag. In Indonesia, there are some variations of places to stay. Besides hotel, which means hotel, there are also wisma, which means guest house, losmen, which means inn, penginapan, which means lodge, pondok, which means cottage, and resort, which means resort. The difference falls on the facility and shape. Wisma, which means guest house, usually has less facility than hotel, which means hotel. While pondok, which means cottage, and resort, which means resort, have different shape or form from hotel. Pondok, which means cottage, and resort, which means resort, usually has some separated buildings or rooms instead of one single big building like a hotel. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation. Setelah menempuh perjalanan dari Kabupaten Bima, malam ini saya menginap di sebuah hotel di dekat Pelabuhan Sape. Kapal saya berangkat besok pagi. Ini kamar saya. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about di dalam kamar. Di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who wanna know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
Jujur saja kau boleh juga. Tak bisa ku pungkiri hatinya mentiap kau ada.
Kisah kita.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, on this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Untungnya Hidup Harus Tetap Berjalan, or Luckily Life Must Go On by Afifah. The song released on June 24, 2024 was created and popularized by Indonesian soloist Bernadia. The song tells about the reflection of a person who has gone through difficult times in her life. It describes the emotional journey of someone who faces challenges, uncertainties, and difficulties, but ultimately finds meaning and lessons from the experience. The song also gives the message that everyone has the power to rise from adversity and continue life with new spirit. Well, listener, here is Afifah with the keroncong song entitled Untungnya Hidup Harus Tetap Berjalan. Happy listening!
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voinews.id.
and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.